Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. I was sitting here in my office, and I was turning over to my monitor here, and the ball was in the air, and I'd already pre-written some things, some thoughts. I wasn't happy with Cliff Kingsbury's play calling, in particular in the fourth quarter, where they threw the ball three straight times. They got away from the running game. Thought before halftime, they got away from the running game. And then I see the play, and the ball is flying in the air, and it's going to be knocked down. It's going to be a tough loss, and man, and Seattle's losing, and then he catches the ball. And there's three guys around him. And I like you, like, no way. No way. And there's three of you. All one of you has to do. And in Buffalo today, they have to be losing their minds. They have to be losing their minds. And here in Arizona, everything is great. Didn't matter they were averaging almost 6 yards a carry running the football. Didn't matter that with about 4 minutes to go in the game, they had a three and out with three balls thrown. Didn't matter a ball doinked off of Larry Fitzgerald inexplicably. And didn't matter that Patrick Peterson got beat for a touchdown by Stephon Diggs. Didn't matter. None of that matters today because in the NFL, it is overreaction Monday. And it's fine. I'm fine with this. This is a day to celebrate because it's a victory in a very, very long, hard season, in particular here in 2020 when everything is happening. Brock Huard is going to be with us on today's show. It's always good to have Brock on board. He did the Packers game yesterday. He did the Seahawks game last week. He is in Seattle. He has been a longtime Seattle media figure. So I've turned the page. Cliff Kingsbury told the team you have 12 hours, okay? Well, it's been 14 hours, so I've turned the page. Thursday night at Seattle for the Cardinals is just epic. It's what it's all about. So we'll have Brock Huard with us. Chris Cartman with Sun Devil Source comes up at 10:45 because we cannot forget about what is happening or not happening with Arizona State and how it impacts the future of Jaden Daniels and is the U of A game, the bowl game, and so on and so forth. So we'll have Chris Cartman on board with us. I spent most of the weekend, Friday night I did a high school game for Cox. I saw Chandler, number 5 team in the nation, and that's always fun. I love being out on Friday night at a high school game. It's just cool. And then the ASU game gets canceled, so Saturday I just kind of dinked around and watched a lot of college football. Saturday night I watched Chuba Purdy at Florida State. It's good to see another local quarterback play, even though he had to run for his life and hope his life insurance is paid up. Man, that is one bad football team. Whew. But he looked really good in the face of adversity. And then yesterday was some golf out at Southern Dunes. Great time out there. And then the Cardinals game. And wrote a lot last night and working on content. Football show, of course, we do on Fox Sports Arizona. We will cut a fresh one today. Brad Sessmatt, Football AZ. Peter King will be in this week's episode. Same with Brock Huard. It's also Chandler versus Hamilton week and what is going to happen with ASU. I thought U of A, I did DVR the game and watch U of A back. For as much as we bang away on U of A, that was a pretty darn good showing. Or is USC just not that good? I noticed the USC alums, the Matt Leinarts, the Mark Tuckers, just disgusted with the Trojans. Opening commentary brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you. Taking care of your business, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. They are all around Maricopa County, and before long, they're going to be statewide. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and their support. All right, so on the Cardinal game, I saw the DK Metcalf run down a Buda Baker earlier this year and thought, oh my gosh, that is the best play that I've ever seen. What an amazing play. There's crazy plays. As a kid, I saw the Holy Roller, the Chargers and Raiders, Mark Van Egan, Bill King, the legendary announcer, talking about it, the San Diego Chicken falling over. Those of you that are above the age of about 40, 45 probably can relate to that moment. I saw DK chase down Buda and said, that's the best play I've ever seen. And then yesterday happened. And it's the fact that DeAndre Hopkins grabbed onto the ball and wouldn't let go with three guys on him, trying to wrestle it away from him on the final play. And sure, it's easy for me to sit here and say all Buffalo had to do is knock it down, because it is easy, okay? That's one of those that if it's the shoes on the other foot today, it's, guys, anybody, just knock the ball down. And so as the game was unwinding, the Rams and Seahawks were also on in the Valley, so I was flipping back and forth between the two games. And I saw the Rams look like they're getting their act together. There's a belief that the 49ers are going to be better in the second half of the season. The game of attrition in the NFL where you have injuries. I don't think the Cardinals are going to have Corey Peters. Corey Peters, that did not look good. Their defensive front is starting to get shredded. I think Russell Wilson is getting dinged up. We'll talk with Brock Huard here in about 10 minutes up in Seattle about what the Seahawks look like for Thursday night's game. I don't think Seattle's defense is any good in any way, any shape, any form at all. I think their offensive line is not good. But here we are in Arizona where Chandler Jones is already gone for the year, and if Corey Peters is gone for the year, it's really hard to expect guys in the secondary. Like, you know, Patrick Peterson made the interception, and then Stephon Diggs beat Patrick Peterson, but that's why we watch sports. I want to see a high-end wide receiver take on a high-end corner, and I did, and Diggs gave Buffalo the lead. Josh Allen is, oh my gosh, terrific. Fun to watch. Worth the price of admission, even if I'm sitting here in my office watching it, right? So I feel like yesterday was everything that many of us need in this day and age of COVID and stay at home and numbers going up and all that, that sports is meant to be the distraction. Yeah, I watched some of the Masters. It didn't feel quite normal. Maybe that's because Dustin Johnson ran away with it. Dustin Johnson is fun to watch, but he's not Tiger Woods fun to watch. And Tiger's back started barking because he'd played so much golf in a row, turned around had to, with the rain delay, that really hurt him. It was a terrific leaderboard at the Masters. Bryson came across to me a little whiny. You know, he loses a ball on Friday. They can't find it. They tell him he has to re-tee, goes back the rest of the day, rest of the weekend. He's kind of done. And then he said, yeah, I'm not really feeling well. I don't have COVID, but his comments, even Scott Van Pelt, and I like Scott because there's none of this sugarcoating, and, you know, if it's not good, it's not good. Let's call it as we see it. So, you know, the Masters this weekend was great to have it, but it didn't have that April feeling about it, and Dustin goes on to the victory. This is a big week for the Suns. It's a big week for the Suns. The trade, the draft, the moratorium is lifted so they can start making deals. They can start working to make this roster better. They have a lot of momentum, in my opinion, at least on the court. Off the court, you know, I've talked about this through the years with what they have, right? On the court, they won 8 straight down in the bubble. There's some interest. There's some excitement. If all the talk about Chris Paul comes to fruition, it would be exactly what this team needs, because they do not need another draft pick. They do not need the 10th pick in the NBA draft. Please include that. Please get it out. Let's move on. And so that is this week. And then there's Arizona State. Like, guys, the Territorial Cup is going to be their bowl game, okay? They're not going to play this coming weekend. It's already canceled. Next week they play Utah. Who knows what Utah looks like? They're on fire. For those of you that wanted to get into me in August and September about, well, look at them, they're playing high school football up there. Yeah, and guess what? The whole state's on fire now with COVID. So it's really unfortunate that there was not a bubble to begin with. And to that end, today, just in the last half hour, college basketball in 2021 is looking at bubbling the entire March Madness and doing it in Indianapolis. So all those regional cities that benefit from March Madness, not happening. We like to go to March Madness, don't see it happening. Larry Scott says, let's play our whole Pac-12 season in Las Vegas. I'm probably going to try to go up there. Arizona State is making Josh Christopher available today. Very smart on their part. You people need something out of ASU. You're not going to get it out of football here for the next, I don't know, 2 weeks. And the diehard Sun Devil fans that I know and those that contact me and those that buy into our content and read our content, they're already done with this football season. They're already done with it. It's hard to get your hopes up and then have them dashed by USC and then have a game pulled and then have another game canceled and keep the interest. It just is, especially when DeAndre Hopkins makes a catch like he did. All right, Brock Huard is on the other side, and then Chris Cartman later on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat. As promised, Brock Huard, Fox, I would say college, but he's doing so much NFL because colleges can't get out of their own way with COVID. Not that it's a joking matter, but you got to kind of find the silver lining. You were Green Bay yesterday. When you first saw the DeAndre Hopkins catch, your reaction was?
I was on the airplane, and my phone was just blowing up. Yeah. Greg Jennings, I'm in the booth this year with me, is in the booth with me this year, and is a great guy. And we talk a lot about receivers, and I've learned a lot from him. And he thinks that the kid in Green Bay is the best in the game, Davante Adams. But Nuke Hopkins is right there, and plays like that just kind of turn that debate. So it was the phone was lively, lots of texts. It was just, I mean, the strength. Brian, I remember I worked with a guy. He was a different guy. He was on the news side, and he was a wrestler. And he was telling me a story back in the day. He grew up in the Midwest, and he went to Dan Gable's wrestling camp.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And this is a long story, and we don't have time for it. But push came to shove. He said this. He was a high school wrestler, pretty talented. And Gable would call out the college guys, high school guys, just come out and grapple with him. And Todd, my friend, he said when he came on that mat, one of the guys whispered to him, don't give him your hands. Like, don't let him get his hands on you. Don't let him get his hands. And Todd said when he got his hands on him, like, life stopped. Like, every fiber of his being was frozen. He couldn't believe the grip and the strength. And he would do, you know, pull-ups by his fingertips on 2x4s. I mean, that the strength of his hands. And honestly, for some weird wacko reason, that was the thought that came back to my mind. The strength in DeAndre's hands and his fingers and his claws to just claw the life out of that ball and make that play, there's just few humanoids that have that kind of ability.
Brock Huard with us talking pro football with the Cardinals in Seattle this Thursday. And, of course, he does college football as well with Fox. Better play, DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker. Better play, DeAndre Hopkins with three DBs all around him to win the game.
Definitely DeAndre. DK
by a lot or a little bit?
Yes, like by a scale of 10. DK's was amazing. His speed is equally superhuman. His effort and his want to, as far as a coaching moment, that will be displayed all over high schools and colleges and pro teams for a long, long time, as far as attitude and heart, and then just the freakish athleticism. But for DeAndre to win that game, to set the table for the second half, to put you in a position to win the division, in the face of everything that kind of went wrong and giving up a touchdown and your defense is struggling. And I'm serious, to do that with three guys all over you and have the dexterity and the strength in your hands, the coordination and body control, I mean, that's just is – yeah, because of the impact on the game, truly, truly one of the great plays I've ever seen.
When you look at Seattle, what is going on? Midpoint of a season, tough part of the schedule. What is going on coming into this Thursday night's epic matchup?
Well, we saw this a couple weeks ago, and you saw firsthand how broken that defense is. Mm-hmm. They are horrendous. They're one of the worst in the history of this league. And it was all fine and dandy when they stopped Cam Newton at the one-yard line. It was fine and dandy when they stopped Dalvin's backup in the Minnesota game on a 4th-and-1. You lose both of those singular plays, you're a 4-and-5 football team whose best win right now is over the Miami Dolphins, and that wasn't even with Tua. That was with Ryan Fitzpatrick playing. So that defense is bad. They've got some singular individuals that are okay, but Bobby and KJ are slowing down dramatically. You've seen that whenever they play against speed. You obviously saw it in Arizona up close and personal. The secondary without Shaquille Griffin is the two corners, whoever they want to put out there. And yesterday it was a nickel they put out there. Are, you know, as a tandem, one of the five worst in the league. The D-line going into this year was ranked by Pro Football Focus as the worst D-line in the league. So, I mean, you put that all together and, you know, their last place standing as far as yards and passing yards, not just in this season, but in the history of the NFL, it starts to make a little bit of sense. So, and for the last 2 weeks now, Russell has felt like I've got to make every single play. I can't throw the ball away. I can't scramble. Yeah. I can't take a sack. I've got to score on every single possession. And because of it, he's not the player that he was the first 9 years of his career taking care of the ball. So add it all up. It's pretty, pretty disastrous time. And maybe the right time to get Arizona at home, because they've had Arizona in recent years when they're rolling and winning and Arizona's punched them in the face. Well, now it's desperation time back against the wall. And I think the winner of this one knows they've got just a front seat to the division title.
I saw your broadcast Seahawks at Buffalo last week, and Russell's just getting pounded. Is he trying to work through some things? Because he's taking shots where you're thinking midpoint of the season, he never misses games, it feels like, but he's not at 100%, bro. I mean, I know nobody is, but he's just taking some shots.
Well, it was 16 knockdowns in that game in Buffalo, and it was double digits again yesterday. Some of his own doing, trying to hold the ball at times. But, yeah, the biggest difference, Brad, is if you really do look back over the last 3 years and you look at the Seahawks with and without Chris Carson, with and without him, they are a totally different team. 3 years ago, it was picking up Marshawn in the playoffs, and you know he missed at the end of the year, and they missed their stinger. Last year, it was December. It was Arizona coming up to Seattle without Chris Carson and just physically dominating the line. Chandler Jones dominated that game. But, you know, in the last 3 weeks, they've not had him. And for Russell, that is his guy. That is his security blanket. That is his check down. That's the, I like to say, impactful. He is full of impact on his own huddle, on the line of scrimmage, on his opponents, on wearing them down, on taking some of the steam out of them so they're not all centric on number three at all times. And he'll be a game-time decision. And I would think, man, you got to do, if you're Chris Carson, everything in your power to be available Thursday night to give your team a chance to win.
Before I get you out of here, on the college front, what do you do? I mean, it's too late to bubble. I had been saying you got a bubble at some point because, you know, this is going to take off. ASU goes to USC. They come home 3 days later. The whole team's broke out. They're already canceled their game against Colorado. From a college standpoint, because you do that as well, what needs to happen? What do you think is going to happen with the game this year?
Yeah, they're going to continue to just have to navigate this thing the way they have the last 10 weeks. And it's why, Brad, when we chatted and we texted, and my frustration with the Big Ten and Pac-12 is, what are you doing? In August and September, these numbers were not like this. Yeah. You knew with the cold weather, I mean, this is a cold virus, a coronavirus. We know it is seasonal in that way. And with flu season too, you knew it would spike. So you had to build in cushion. You had to build in, as the SEC and the ACC and the independents and the Big 12 have, as some of them have played 9 games. And, you know, well, and the SEC was to me pretty savvy on this, and have a couple weeks on the back end to make it up. And even if they don't, at least they've got 6-7 games in the hopper. And I think they'll at least get a couple more and we'll work towards a championship game. So yeah, this is why, you know, from day one, when the Pac-12 pulled the plug, the Big Ten for that matter too, I said, uh-oh, this is going to be really difficult for them to finish a season. And I still will stick with that.
Yeah, I watched an ACC game the other night, and the announcers were saying 93% of ACC games have been played.
Yes.
Your point. So yeah, they figured it out. Let you go off that. Good stuff as always. Stay safe. Stay well. Thanks.
Sorry for the wrestling analogy, but I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
I like it. Buddy. Anytime you can do this. That's Brock Huard, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Brock Huard. So Chris Cartman will join us here in about 10 minutes on Arizona State football and what happens. Their game this Saturday against Colorado, already wiped out. Just awful. So I'm going to stick with some good stuff, some positive stuff. I feel festive today. You know, it's like Thanksgiving is right around the corner. We've had a long-ass year. That's the only way I can put it, with everything that's happened. And to have a game like yesterday take us, you know, away from all the stuff for a few hours. So this came in from the Cardinals. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, okay, these are people that they just sit and crunch numbers. That's what they've done forever. Elias is like the highest of highest end of number crunchers. The Cardinals' victory over the Bills on Sunday marks just the second time in the last 60 years that a game featured multiple go-ahead passing touchdowns in the final 40 seconds of regulation. You had Stephon Diggs' catch with 34 remaining that gave the Bills the lead. Four plays later, you had that. The only other game in over 60 years where this happened came back in 1981, the Eagles against Washington. And, of course, everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, I watched it. Of course I did. So I love that story. And to follow up on Brock's conversation, so I'm not going to sit here and say in the middle of November, third week in November, that it's the biggest game, but it's the next game, right? People hate hearing that stuff. But it's the next game. And so you turn the page and you marvel at what you saw yesterday. But Thursday night, we actually have a really good Thursday night game. Like the way the NFC West is going to play out down the stretch, this game, the Rams and Cardinals haven't played each other yet. The 49ers are feeling like that they're getting better. Peter King is with us every week. Football Morning America last week was talking about it. Just watch. Just watch what's going on in San Francisco. They're going to get it figured out. They're going to get it turned around. And so if the playoffs do get expanded, remember, last week this came out, that if seasons go astray, weeks get canceled, there's uneven amount of games, they would expand the playoff field. If they don't, and you end up having two teams from the NFC West that go in, and if the Cardinals win both games over Seattle and have that as a tiebreaker, that's just enormous. It's enormous. So this is one of those games that you circle, you look at, you say, all right. And here in the Valley, unless Chris Paul gets traded to the Suns here this week or next week, with Arizona State now wiped out by COVID, there's really nothing going on. And so the Cardinals have a golden opportunity to just capture the market. Like I reached out to some of my TV friends today. I want the ratings of what the Rams-Seattle game was doing the exact same time as the Cardinals-Buffalo game was going on, because both games are shown here in the Valley. And if the numbers are about equal, then I'm going to say, you know, you guys have not captured the market yet. You're playing Buffalo, tight game, and over here on the Rams-Seahawks game, there was, you know, 80,000 televisions that's watching that rather than you. So there's a business side to all this as well. I want to go back on, before we take a break, I want to go back on what happened earlier today with March Madness being in one city. So this is a story that we're on the front end of. It's a story that will only build as today progresses. The fact that they picked Indianapolis in March bothers me a little bit. I get it. If you're from Indiana, you're like, well, that's the heartbeat of America. It's the midpoint for everybody. It's equal for everybody. It's not the greatest place to be in March. I've been there for the combine in February. It's not beautiful, okay? And I know you're indoors. Are there enough facilities? Are there enough venues? Are we going to see March Madness being played in high school gyms? You know, if you're going to be in Indianapolis, how many different courts can you set up at one time? Are you going to take Lucas Oil Field and cut it into thirds, and you're just going to start playing games with tarps drawn? It's like AAU basketball. Nothing wrong with that, if that's how you want to do it. The presentation is going to be a little random. Is a ball over on court three going to roll over into court two or into court one? You know, that's really what I'm looking at here. But this story just broke in the last hour, and it's enormous for college basketball, because I think Arizona State is a college basketball tournament team this year. I don't know if Sean Miller is. This isn't hating on Sean Miller, and you U of A guys who think your team is all that every year. Well, you have a foreign exchange student team this year. That's what you have, essentially. You don't have guys top to bottom. You just lost three players that are going to be drafted probably this coming week. And Grand Canyon's in a rebuild with Bryce Drew, and they've yet to win their own conference. So I really believe this is an Arizona State story to take a look at. We'll talk more about the Sun Devils on the football field and the impact of COVID and the program with Chris Cartman. That is on the other side with Sun Devil Source. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, as promised, is ASU just never going to get back on the field? I don't have Chris Cartman. Chris Cartman knows a lot of stuff at sundevilsource.com. He knows a ton of stuff about ASU. But do you know, publisher, editor, Are they ever going to play a game again in the next, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month?
Well, look, Brett, I am not going to be placing any bets on this, but I sort of think they can be able to play against Utah on November 28th. It just was very clear with all the contact tracing protocols in place that Colorado was never going to happen. I knew that kind of immediately. They were very skeptical about the possibility of that, and they didn't take long in deciding it, which I think was a savvy move. Utah is by no means a sure thing. There's plenty that could happen between now and then that could prevent that game from taking place, but they do have some confidence that they could be practicing again that week and playing against Utah.
Okay, so neither one of us are doctors here, but both of us have been reading, studying, talking to people. Was all this preventable if they had just bubbled up as a Pac-12 somewhere? Because ASU gets on a plane, they go to LA, and they come back, and all of a sudden COVID's everywhere. Is it that simple?
No, it's hard to say. It's logistically, when you look at how much that costs and what kind of an effort goes into it, is there really a reason to believe that the Pac-12's current leadership has the ability to pull that off? I personally don't think so, to be honest. And so, yes, if you could create that type of a bubble environment where it's self-contained and there's a lot of really smart protocols that are in place, I think that would be able to work effectively. Then you start to encroach upon whether or not that's okay for student athletes versus professional players and all that. I'm not here to make those types of decisions, obviously, but it definitely would have been a safer environment had they been able to pull that off.
But it is fair to say, Chris, I was watching an ACC game the other night, and the announcers were pointing out that 93% of ACC games have been played this year. The fact that the Pac-12 decided to push back now, to me at least, is looking like it was a worse decision than I thought it was even initially. Because the virus, from what I've read, heard, is growing as it gets colder across the country. And the ACC and SEC did build in bye weeks. They said, we're going to go for it. And the Pac-12 said, no, we're going to be safe. And I think they are being sorry on this one.
Well, there's a lot of factors. So you look at the concerns that they had about getting daily testing in place and not being able to get that ramped up earlier, I think was a problem that they're now having to try to deal with. And then the concerns that they expressed, the doctors of the Pac-12 who are operating independent of the conference leadership structure, who essentially said that they were concerned about heart issues potentially at an earlier stage in the process. I feel like had they been able to play in September, they would have had a lot more opportunity for these types of things happening that they now have no ability to really deal with in a way that fans appreciate or think is good. And so, yes, I mean, it's been a cascading series of things that have gone wrong for the Pac-12.
And you look at the Stanford quarterback and a false positive, and that's come up now. I know that piling on Larry Scott is popular and actually is deserved in a lot of cases, but this just feels like they've bungled it. I'm interested in your space on Jaden Daniels. Let's just say, Chris, that they play less than four games this year. Let's just say that happens. Jaden Daniels' eligibility is not hindered at all, correct? In terms of years, in terms of numbers of years.
Yep.
But Jaden Daniels has to play two full seasons, right? We're all expecting him to play two full seasons, and then he's leaving ASU, correct, going into his junior year.
So. Yeah, I think that there's still a very good chance that Jaden Daniels leaves after the 2021 season, 3 years and out, if he demonstrates that he's capable of being a first or second day NFL type of a pick. So, yes, this does hurt ASU from a standpoint of trying to maximize Jaden Daniels on the field and then parlay that into additional recruiting successes. That's definitely one of the factors that I've heard people talk about at ASU, just loss of a season and what that does when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. Now, maybe there's a possible way to spin this into he might be more likely to stay an additional year.
Correct.
I just think that that's really difficult to read the tea leaves on something like that, because he could potentially be still one of the better quarterbacks in the country next fall.
And then in terms of these players that they are recruiting and coming here saying, we're going to get you ready for the next level, Now that's been pushed back by this. I used the term cascading earlier, and I think that's well put. The cascading impact of the present recruits, the seniors that may get another year of eligibility, the high school seniors that are interested in ASU. There's been scholarships that have been pulled or kids that have decommitted, depending on whose side of the street you're on that one, just in this upcoming recruiting class. Talk on the recruiting end, if you could.
So there's no doubt, in my opinion, from covering this as long as I have on the recruiting side, that ASU wouldn't have been releasing those kids unless they felt really good about their ability to get better kids later on down the road. Mm-hmm. I think the mistake was probably taking commitments early that they shouldn't have, not so much that they, you know, are now like having guys scramble and losing them or anything like that. They're doing quite well, in my opinion, in recruiting. Probably even better than they had anticipated they would be doing. The same thing happened last year, and then they closed really strongly in their previous signing class. Their talent overall is building up. You saw that against USC. There wasn't a disparity on the field that there has been in a lot of years in the past. I anticipate that's probably going to continue because I do think this is the best recruiting staff that I've covered at ASU. When you're not able to evaluate a lot of these kids, I think they took some of them on the come up thinking, okay, we're going to be ahead of the curve. We're going to watch these kids on the field in September. We're going to look good for having offered them and taken their commitments. And then a lot of them weren't able to play at all. And then you start to second guess some of that decision-making process. But just on the talent acquisition side of things, Brad, I really think ASU is in a better position than it has been in a lot of years.
Chris Cartman with a Sun Devil Source, publisher, editor, great content there. Check him out, sundevilsource.com. Before I get you out of here, I was talking with a high-end recruits parent the other night out at the Chandler Highland game. And this parent, his kid is already committed, said that he was talking with a position coach at another school. Position coach said, we were going to offer your son, but with what is going on with COVID, we've already had three players at that same position indicate that they are going to come back to us next year. And they're seniors already. So that side of it, Chris, if you look at ASU's roster, where could they potentially see the same sort of thing take place where they were looking at kids graduating? Now those kids may decide to stay another year, which in turn could impact them taking players at that position.
See, I think that's a really great point that you're touching on, because I have been long thinking that 2021 was the season for Herm Edwards in this first 4-year period of his tenure in which everything would kind of be coming together. Remember, they changed their schemes on offense and defense going into this year. A lot of freshmen on that side of the ball that they're now relying on, or at least newcomers. And so, yes, I think that if you look at their offensive line, Kellen Deesh, Henry Haddis, both of those guys, I think, helped their cause against USC, but by not playing more than several games this season, it makes it more likely that they would come back. Evan Fields is a guy that I think is a draftable guy, but he only started last year for the first time, and he was making a big jump with his game, I think, this year, but I don't know that that's going to be demonstrated on film. You may not be able to get all of the players. I think Jack Jones, Chase Lucas, may be hard to get those guys to come back another year, depending on how much they play, but there are some guys that can help sort of solidify their roster and build them into all of this young talent they've recruited over the last 2 years.
U of A game is going to be the bowl game, right? The way things are going, that's going to be the bowl game this year.
I think it will be perceived that way, right? Yeah. If ASU's only playing 4 games and they've lost one already, that's the way this thing is trending.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Stay safe.
Thanks so much, Brad.
There's Chris Cartman, sundevilsource.com. Make sure you log on to sundevilsource.com. They do great content. We appreciate Chris's time.